Welcome everyone to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 419 for October 2020, and I'm Barry Kantz, your host. And in today's show, we once again have Gary Ebels, and he just returned from two trips within the last 6 weeks or so, two trips to Disney World. And Gary's going to give us a rundown, almost a minute-by-minute account of his traveling to Disney amidst this pandemic. And we're going to start at the airport, and then he's going to move on to the parks, and we're going to talk about the changes and the expectations due to the pandemic, and some really interesting tips and good advice for you or anyone or any of your clients that are traveling to Disney. So give this a listen. I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, if you missed a link or something that we talked about during the show, you can always find the links by going to the show notes at the website, which is hometravelagent.net, hometravelagent.net. And while you're there, you can browse the archives, and you can sign up for the newsletter, which will bring you the show notes directly to your email inbox. And if you want to drop me an email, you can do that at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And we also have a Facebook page. If you go over there and give us a like, that'd be greatly appreciated. And the Facebook page is at facebook.com/HBTAS, the initials for the Home Base Travel Agent Show. So with all that said, let's get on with the show. Well, welcome, Gary. I want to welcome you back to the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and it's great to have you back once again. And I know we're going to talk about Disney because you have just returned from Disney World, actually within the last couple of days, isn't that right? And just let me, as a way of introduction, Gary's been on the show several times in the past. He's a Disney fan, also a Disney travel agent, and he is a kid, but an older kid because he loves Disney like most of us do. So Gary has some special insights to share with us about Disney, and we are going to start that right now. So welcome, Gary.
Well, thank you, Barry. It's a pleasure to be back again. And yes, to talk about the most magical place on earth, Disney World, which is my favorite thing. And of course, I am a kid at heart, and it is nice to have two angles that I use. One excuse I have to go to Disney World is the fact that I use it for quote unquote research. All of the students that I use, I'm a college professor, and all the students know that some of my examples include Disney because they tend to do things quite well. But it's also a great opportunity to quote unquote research so that when I get to take my kids and grandkids down there, it's kind of fun too. So I have actually been down there. I can't remember the last date that we recorded, and I hadn't been there, but I was on my way. But we were updating as to what kinds of things were happening, what was opening and so forth. And actually around the middle of September and the middle of October, I got to go on two trips. And yes, I actually returned about 48 hours ago. So a little disclaimer early on into the podcast here is the fact that everything is so dynamic. If you're listening to this podcast, like a year from now, and it's 2021 and it's late and fall and stuff like that, I'm hoping that things have changed significantly from what they are now, but I can give a little insight of what's there now, what can be done. And the bottom line of it is this is all quite positive. And it could be something that if you're a Disney travel agent, or you sell Disney, or you have clients that are going to are asking about it, that I can provide you some good information having just recently been there. So that's where we can kind of go from there. So just a little bit more background. September was a trip that I took because in some of the blogs that I read and so forth, they talked about the fact that if you were ever a Disney person and somewhat an introvert, which I really am, in many respects. And I guess that's, you know, I have this handle, Solo at Disney. I do solo trips, and it's not because I don't like other people. It's just that most people can't travel when I can travel. And so it's kind of like, I'm not going to wait around for them. I'm just going to go. And I like to look for the bargains, and I like to try to go there as economical as possible, but go. And so because they had opened up, a lot of people weren't comfortable with coming down there. They were capping the attendance of the parks and so forth. I was able to start looking. And one of the advantages of being affiliated and being an actual Disney travel agent is you get your own login to the Disney travel agent website, which I will tell you, if you haven't got on there, you should do that. Get yourself a login. You'll need your IATA number, and they'll confirm that with your host agency, if that's what you got, or your agency. But not only the fact that you can go in there and look at what their offers are, their prices, you're on their mailing list and so forth, but they have an amazing training program that if you get all the way through it, there's some perks that go along with it. But the training program is really good, because even somebody who thinks they know a little bit about Disney, I learn so much when I go through them. And not only the fact that we're talking about Walt Disney World today, they also, I mean, the training involves Disney Cruise Lines, Adventures by Disney, Disneyland. I'll mention something about that. That's in the news this week as we go forward. So it's very, very good training. So any of the stuff that you use, even just the techniques and the offerings and stuff, could probably help you in any of the things that you sell as it relates to amusement parks or Disney or Florida or California, those kinds of things too. So anyways, so let me just start from the beginning. Well, I was talking about, the first one was a trip in September. And so I go, I just have to go. And the neat part about it is that the airlines are just looking to put people, or at least were looking to put people in the seats. And so, you know, there were just double digit fares, meaning less than $100 to go from, I live in West Michigan, and out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, Grand Rapids to Orlando. I mean, there was prices before this all happened that were, you know, $200-$300 for each direction if you didn't catch it just right. And they were going for $99 or less there, getting down and coming back. I'm going, whoa, that's attractive. And then the room rates were quite reasonable. And of course, I have an annual pass that they keep, or had been extending. And so it's an annual pass, which is supposed to be good for a year, but mine now is going to be good for almost a year and a half, which is kind of nice. And so I claim I try to dollar cost average this. And so try to get it down to, it's like some friends of mine, we used to go skiing. And of course that first run down the hill is whatever the price of the lift ticket was. But every time you go down after that, you can kind of divide that by the number. And we tried to get it down to a reasonable amount if we paid a lot of money. Same thing with Disney, but go from there. The second trip, which was the one I just got back on, it was a conference that actually was just outside of Disney, over there at the Disney Springs area at the Wyndham. And I was that was a conference, but I had everything before it had to be canceled, obviously, because of the circumstances of distancing and so forth. Had everything all set up. I had good tickets. The room rates there were really good. It's like right across the street from Disney Springs, so that's attractive too. I always typically rent a car, and so I could move around quite quickly. And so that's the trip I went on. I'm going, I'm just going to go down there and see what it looks like a month later. And a lot of things change. So the first thing I would have to say, let's talk about, is flying. The airlines are really, really hurting right now. And if you book airline flights, if you haven't done that for yourself or a client lately, what you'll find is that you're going to get updates all the time. They're going to change things. They're going to cancel flights as they move things around. I have a trip, my last trip of the year, well, at least tentatively, last trip of the year is December, which I'll go down with my son, daughter, and daughter-in-law, and three of my grandkids that when we couldn't go in June. And I think the tickets that I got, it's another, again, a Southwest flight, I think they've changed the itinerary and the times at least four times since I bought them. Wow. So, even the ones that I just recently went on, I had a 9 a.m. flight, or actually a 7 a.m. flight, and it was supposed to be in Orlando by noon. And ultimately, it became a 9 o'clock flight and got in close to 3 p.m. So, and there weren't a lot of options. So anticipate that is don't, when you buy tickets, just anticipate that they're probably going to be manipulating the times, the arrival times, the departure times, and so forth for quite a while. So be careful with those. Also, there was a time, at least with Southwest, this happened with me also, that they changed the time of one of my legs, but didn't change the other one. And so actually looking at it, and I actually got a heads up reading another blog from someone else, they said, go check your tickets because you may be arriving after your connecting flight leaves. And I had actually two segments or two different flights that I had that happen. So make sure you're always keeping track of those times. Make sure there's enough time in between, especially as we move into more challenging weather, let's say, at least in the northern part of the United States. A lot of airlines go through Chicago, which, you know, they always seem to be getting kicked with thunderstorms or snowstorms on that that little corner of Lake Michigan down there.
That's been my experience. Yeah,
exactly. You kind of hold your breath and expect the worst and be happy if you're not able to do that. So the process, the airports are fairly quiet, except for the gate areas. I mean, you know when a plane comes in because there's like this little surge of people that come walking through. And then all of a sudden you're walking down another area or going to another, like a concourse or something like that. And as you walk between the two of them, you'd think it was 4 o'clock in the morning. There's a couple of custodians working around there cleaning up and maybe, you know, one other person working. It's kind of like, it's very quiet and not many people there, but for the most part, you know, it's all comfortable. There's an expectation that you wear a mask all the time. Masks are somewhat mandatory if you're going to fly from the moment you step inside the airport and until you get to your destination. So make sure that, and I was, this is one of my problems. I wouldn't call it a problem, but most of the stuff that I do don't require a mask because I do most of my work at home. I teach everything online now because of the environment. And so I wasn't, you know, except for going into a grocery store or something, I maybe had a mask on for 20 minutes to 30 minutes and that was it. And now all of a sudden I had to go a good part of a day wearing a mask. And you learn a few tips and tricks, and the skin on the backside of your ears have to build up a little bit. That gets pretty raw. Yeah. Sometimes with those elastic bands, but overall it works good. But you need to anticipate that and get yourself a couple of different things and try them out in different environments. So, and obviously then we go to the next thing. The airplanes were, at least Southwest, I think most of them, at least till the end of November, were not selling all their seats. And so the equivalent of all the middle seats were not being sold. And one of my legs was completely sold except for the middle seat. And the other ones had a few of them, but for the most part, airplanes are I think they're selling them. Of course, they've cut so many of them. They're selling most of their seats at this point in time. Of course, they sold them for at quite a discount, so you can see why they're still hurting. But the crew on there are just so thrilled to see you and so forth. At least on the Southwest flights, we got the typical little snacks, and you can have anything you want to drink as long as it's water.
Well, you gain a new appreciation for customers in this time, don't you?
Yes, exactly. That's they're quite thrilled down there too. So arriving in Orlando, pretty much the same thing, expectation of masks and so forth, reminders to distance. You know, some people are more conscientious of it than others. I'm not too worried about it at any given time. I mean, I've lasted this many years and come in contact with a lot of bad stuff, and you just develop some good hygiene, especially with my background and Barry's background and in public safety. We build up a fair amount of immunities because of the people we've dealt with over our careers and so forth. You know?
True.
I believe that's true. It not only the immunities, but it, you know, we've gotten into good habits of keeping our hands away from our face and washing our hands quite often and stuff too. So picking up the rental car was pretty much the same as it is. The one thing that I can stress to you is that if you have two or three rental car companies that you typically rent from, make sure you go on and get their app and sign up for their loyalty programs and so forth. That'll change your life for the most part. You go in there, you already pre-populate all the things that you would normally have to have. If you stood at the counter, your driver's license number, you can put a credit card in there. All this stuff, they'll give you a number, usually a card and stuff like that. You can put those into your reservations. And I'll tell you what, the difference between that is going down, especially at Orlando this last time when I arrived last week. It was on a Thursday, so I mean it was the middle of the week. There were only about two places that had rental cars, and each one of those had at least 75 people lined up in line. And I went and found the sign that says, if you were, this was budget, we'll just give them a free ad here. This was budget, although I don't recommend you use budget in Orlando. Okay. That's a whole different podcast. At least if it's late in the day. But I walked right on past budget, and they said, if you're a budget fast break member, just go across the street where the cars are all parked. And, if you have a budget, you do have to go up and they'll just pull your paperwork, which is all set there. You you sign the document, they give you the rental agreement, and your car is already assigned the keys and the space. It took about as much time as it took me to describe it there. Avis, which is right next to them and owned by them, they have it a little different. It's kind of like you walk up, you look for your name on the board because they're expecting you, and they got all the paperwork. And they said, go to this spot and take that car. And the paperwork gets finished up and finalized as you're leaving the gate there. And so most of the time on these types of things, if you don't check luggage, you can be out of the airport in your rental car before the luggage arrives at the carousel.
Yep. And, wow.
So if there's one piece of advice that I can give you, that is make sure you sign up for any of the loyalty programs you can from any of the car places that you can rent from. And again, another tip, again, I don't know where we're at as far as dropping names around here, but if you happen, I'm one of these that I go after, that's probably why I like being a travel consultant. I like to go after the plan. I'm a planner type of thing. So I'm one that'll go in there and say, okay, this is a reasonable price for a rental car. But I'll check it like every other day as we get into 15 days out or something, because I've saved a tremendous amount of money doing that type of thing. And there's been a couple of different places, but if you're a Costco member, the only place you should be renting from is not renting from Costco, but going through their portal. I've never found anybody that can come close to the Costco offers, and they have four of them. They combine themselves, Alamo, Budget, Alamo Budget, Enterprise, and what's the other one with an A?
Avis? Alamo
and Avis, correct, yes. Those are the four, and so they'll give you those prices in there. Let me just tell you something that happened this time, first time ever. I've actually continued to save money the closer I get to renting a car. And so my time that I go and find something that I can live with, but I know that I probably don't have to live with it when I book the rest of my flights and so forth. And then what I start looking is about 15 days out. And then sometimes I check almost twice a day, the week of, and I've saved even 24 hours before I've saved $50 off a rental. Just by going and checking the prices there and changing out, creating a new one, canceling the old one. That was completely the opposite this time. And what happened is about 15 days out, I had one, I'll just use the numbers. I had one out for $155 and I'm going, I can beat that for the short trip I had. I got 15 days out that was at 300. I'm going, okay, well, I just caught it on the day that they think people are going to do that. It'll come back down. And I checked back the next day, it went to 400. I checked back the next day, it went to 450.
Oh my God.
It was well over $500 for the same reservation by within days of that, completely opposite. So I mentioned it to the guy that was doing. I said, what happened to all the things? He says, well, there's some car rental companies that are in trouble. A lot of them have sold most of their cars, and so they have no inventory. And because Orlando had basically the most amount of cars, a lot of those got taken away from Orlando and moved to smaller areas and so forth as they got rid of their old inventory and so forth. And so you got to watch the car rental really, really quick. Get yourself a car rental. My December trip, it actually has been coming down, but I this little aberration that happened here kind of, you know, set me up in my seat going, boy, don't assume that rental prices are going down. It kind of follows the same attitude as a lot of the other things in the travel business, is that the closer you get to the time that you want to do it, whether it be a cruise, airline, hotel, the prices continue to inch up, I believe. Have you found that, Barry?
Yeah, you know, as you know, I guess the airlines have quite a complicated algorithm that they use to price their seats, but probably the hotels and rental cars, at least the bigger hotels, probably do too. And as their inventory through bookings becomes less, then the price probably goes up. And that would be typical. But what you found with the rental car companies was atypical up until now. So interesting.
Exactly. And I'm not seeing that for future trips at this point in time, but I'll have to watch them as you get closer. When I went to the Costco site, when I was within like 3 or 4 days, very unusual is that there were only 2 out of the 4 that actually had any cars available, period. Everything was booked, which is kind of like you have the largest rental environment. You see those thousands and thousands of cars when you take off and land, and they have nothing to rent for the period that you want it. It was kind of bizarre. So we are living in different times that you have to adjust. And if you're handling the bookings for a client, you got to do the due diligence and also the forewarning that they may be paying more for a rental car than they have for quite some time or what they've been accustomed to. So,
yeah, anyways. Good information.
So, yeah, that's the airports. And so I motored on out. Again, one of the trips I stayed on the property, one on off the property. I just have to say, and one of the comments that caused me to go and book my September trip is kind of like, if you want to see somebody handling people right as far as the good distancing and protection and safety, especially in these times, go and watch and see what Disney did. And I actually do have to say I was pretty much in awe of how they handle it. And they did it amazingly. They did it subtly. And they did it with a smile, and the customer service part of it. The cast members are so thrilled to see people back there. They seem to be better than ever. I mean, you walk into the park and they actually contracted with a local health company. And so they don't have Disney cast members, but the first thing that happens after you park your car or you arrive on a bus or something, and I didn't ride a bus, so I can't report on that, but they were running, is that you get your temperature screened, which I suspect all of us have had that done quite a bit already. But they do the temperature screening, and then you go through the security. The neat thing about it is the security is very different. I have to smile and think that there's going to be some, even though these have been struggled, these times have been quite struggled, a struggle for us, that there's some really good things that are going to come out of this. And one of them has to do with the screening. And you don't have to take, you don't have to stop any place. And of course, they don't want their security people rummaging through your backpacks or anything like that. You leave everything in your pocket, and you leave everything in your bag, and you walk through this new, I mean, it looks like a metal detector, but you just walk through it, and there's a guy standing in front of you that's looking at a large display. It looks like a large iPad, and they just clear you right through. I'm not sure exactly what that's picking up, but you're not being touched. And well, I mean, unless you set off the little alarm or something, and there's something that they want to check out, then you're pulled aside and then they do it more thorough. But for the most part, cell phone keys, a fair amount of metal in my pockets. Now, I didn't have a backpack, but there was people all around me, and nobody gets touched. And the efficiency of that is actually amazing. So,
oh, wow.
That type of technology was amazing.
Yeah, that's different. I have to find out what that is.
Yeah. And so if that works out for them, I can see that probably be rendered. Barry and I have spent a fair amount of time in courts, and not for the wrong reason, but anytime that I go to court or take my classes to court, we still have to go through the, put your bags in the conveyor and go through the metal detector. I suspect that this is going to change and reduce the amount of money and personnel that it's going to take to screen people to come into different venues. And we may even see some of those in the future, even in things like grocery stores and for sure schools and stuff like that. So pretty neat stuff.
Yeah.
But, and so that was pretty efficient. The parks are efficient. I did make a comment to somebody I was talking to in this last trip. I said, one of the things that's going to happen also as a result of this is that we have gotten so accustomed, if we don't know somebody, to staying 6 feet away, you can pull all those markers up from the ground, and I suspect you're going to find yourself standing in line wherever you queue up, whether it be a fast food restaurant or a park attraction. You'll probably still stay 6 feet away from people just kind of automatically, which is because there were a couple places where they didn't put things down. They wanted you to stay apart, but there was no need to do that. But people were already physical distancing because of that. So kind of neat.
Yeah.
How they did that.
Are hard to change.
I took a picture of one of the little markers on that they put down at Disney, please wait here. And they're everywhere. They put thousands of them down at any place where people would congregate. And I just had a smile though, because another thing that's changed is something you'll never hear at Disney or many of these places again. And that is, please take two steps forward and fill in all the available space.
Yeah.
Like nobody's going to be forced to be move in and tuck in. If you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They don't like to see any gaps between people. Well, that's all changed. The one thing that it has done though, is it's changed the perception. You realize how many people that Disney in their large pre-show and their queues can hide because now they have to put 6 feet between everybody, and they have to cut off some of the, switchbacks and stuff they got. And so you walk up to an attraction now, and if you had seen that line before, you'd say, well, I might get on this today. And when in fact it might only be 25 minutes, but it just looks like there's more people because you've had to spread them out so far. And so that's another thing that I saw there. As far as the attractions themselves, just about anything, they've done a very good, very professional job of putting plexiglass. Somebody mentioned on a podcast I was listening to the other day going, well, I think it might've been somebody that both Barry and I know, Todd Cochran, and Todd was saying, boy, if you were in the plexiglass business in the last 6 months, you probably made a lot of profit because everybody's into plexiglass every place, you know?
Yeah.
And so they've done a nice job, nice finished looks on everything. If you have a family, you get to all sit together, take something we've probably all been on is a monorail. When you open the doors of the monorail, they got it in the front half and the back half, there's two halves typically in a car. If your family can sit on one bench and another family can sit on the other bench, as long as it's reasonable. If you don't have that situation, then a lot of times I got the whole one half of a car to myself that was separated with plexiglass. So that was kind of nice. The Jungle Cruise, same way. They got people separated, seated. Large venues where you sat in with an auditorium, they grouped people by four and then staggered them. And so you go in there and find a section. Of course, if I'm alone, I get four seats all around me, plus there's three seats in between that. And then there's nobody in front of me and nobody behind me. And so they got these little, they can still accommodate quite a few people, but they're all staggered in there. The neat part about it is you got an unobstructed view. There's no tall person in front of you blocking your view to some, to the Muppets or anything like that too. So the one thing that Disney does have, you got to be careful of, is that they now don't have park hopping, which is really one of the things, I think that's one of the downsides of it. Their park hours are quite a bit shortened, although they are loosening them up as we're approaching the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, adding more hours. Actually, they're not adding more hours. They're going back to their old hours. For instance, Epcot closes at 7 p.m. right now, when typically they're open till 9 p.m., sometimes 9:30 during the holidays. And so you do go in there, but you can only go into one park per day. There's no park hopping. And what you do have to, in order for them to control the population, is you have to go in and actually create a reservation. So if you're going to go to Disney right now, or you have a client that's going to go there, first, you have to make them a reservation. Then you have to get them some tickets and connect that reservation and those tickets to your My Disney Experience. And then you go in and you pick your park for the day. So you need to know 6 months out which park you want to go to. And you make a park reservation. And they have three buckets. One bucket is for people who are resort guests. And they have a calendar for that. Then they have annual pass holders. Each one of them are different calendars. And then one is the general population who can start doing those, I think, 30 days out. If you have a reservation and it's, you know, next October, you can make park reservations. And yes, maybe a little signal of things to come. They're doing park reservations, one park per day, all the way through 2021. So now obviously they can change that, but it gives you a little picture of what to anticipate, that things might be that way a good part of 2021 is what we're seeing now. So make sure you make those park reservations. And they have a lot of little warnings to make sure you do that on the My Disney Experience as you're making the reservations, that before you buy your tickets, make sure you can go look at it first. Make sure you're buying your tickets and you need to go on Thanksgiving and the day after, you better go and make sure they haven't reached capacity with reservations on that day. Otherwise, you're buying them and you won't be able to use them. So they put a lot of time and effort in those kinds of things in there also. The last note I had on here, just to kind of, I ramble on, this is what happens. Barry can't get a word in edgeways here, but there's a whole bunch of different people, and I'm born and raised in Michigan, and I just get the feeling that my genes are designed for Michigan weather, and it's raining here now, and it's about 40 degrees, and I'm loving every minute of it, because the September trip, and I thought, oh, well, October is going to be better. Yeah, well, it was like 88 degrees every day, but you go, oh, that's what's wrong with 88 degrees. It's the other two things. Number one, there's no wind. And number two is the humidity. And so 88 in my feels like reading, when you do the calculations, was 99 degrees. And so I sweat, and it's pretty uncomfortable for this Michigan person here and Michigan boy. And if you're a person who doesn't like hot weather, you would think that when September Labor Day rolls around, that life would be get a little bit nicer and more comfortable. And the Florida people see it. They're going, oh, boy, the humidity's way down. I'm going, you're kidding me, right? You know, but yeah. I say this as Barry is, as we speak, packing up to point his destination for the next few months towards the south. But yeah, hopefully you'll avoid some of that, huh?
Yeah, that's true. And you know, being a Michigan person, I have to, maybe it's psychological, but at least I have to prepare mentally to go down there, and I'm sure a lot of people are feeling sorry for me, but prepare to experience the higher temperatures in November and throughout the winter. But
yes, it can get pretty cold. It can still get pretty cold there, but you get a lot of nice warm days, and there's days that are fairly humid, and those are the things that affect me. I can take the heat, but it's the humidity that takes me down, you know. So
yeah, one thing nice about our location where we go, we're half a mile from the ocean, and there's always a breeze, so that really helps a lot.
Nice. You know, that would that might be a nice podcast for you someday. I can come on and interview you on how you travel and how you found your place, and tips and tricks for people who want to, because that seems to be the thing. The camping industry is shot right through the roof because people are choosing that type of vacation now as opposed to the other. And I suspect there's some advantages or things that travel agents can do to provide service to that.
Oh yeah, there are. There's several opportunities to host an RV tour, camping tour, pick a destination, pick some campgrounds, make the reservations, sign people up. I mean, it would work the same way as any other kind of tour, except, people are on four wheels rather than flying. And sure, you can make money doing that. There's people to do that. Yep.
Exactly. There's a lot of people, they're not ready to get on an airplane yet. So, and they're not ready to go to a hotel. And I have some neighbors that are not snowbirds that are not going to Florida simply because they live in a multi-story complex someplace. And just the thought of getting on the elevator that other people have been on, of course, they would be the high risk category. They're the retirees and so forth. And I understand that. And everybody's got to find their own comfort level. So a lot of things, but that could also cause an opportunity for you to rent out some of these places too. There's agencies that do that too. Okay. The one other thing that I would say, I was just going to say something about food, is the fact that, and this is, I can see this going out, but this is especially true with Disney. Everything works from a QR code. Hopefully you know what I'm talking about, that little app that you download to your smartphone, that you open it up. Virtually no restaurant, even the higher end restaurants at Disney that you go sit down, they have a little something on the table, or bring you a little slip of paper that gets thrown away. And if you don't have a menu handed to you, you go scan the QR code and bring it up on your phone. And so what I found is I had to bring that QR code to my homepage, my front page, because I used it so much. I'm finding that locally here too. A lot of online ordering, those kinds of things. But if you don't have a smartphone or you don't know how to use the QR code, I'm sure they have ways to adapt to it. I still have friends that have those flip phones that we tease them about, but they wouldn't function very well, especially in Disney, if it came time to eat, because the fast food places and even the sit downs are all using the QR codes. And so that's a really important app to get and bring it front and center when you're traveling.
Yeah. And I found that around here too, going to a restaurant, they have the QR codes pasted on the table so you can access the menu.
Yep. So that would be my other tip there. So I did tell you it was hot down there, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, and put things in contrast, I was very comfortable going to Disney. I had no problem going back. I didn't have any problem flying. The other side of that is I have a tradition with some friends to go to Florida right around Halloween. It's usually the weekend that the 1st of November falls for the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show. And we've gone down there a lot of years. And this year we're taking that year off because we did the math on that one, just what you have to do and go on and off if you did those and walk around with all these people and the tightness of some of the docks and the population they have there. I'm sure they're going to do a really good job of managing it, but we just said, you know, it just wasn't, even though I have a comfort level of going to Disney where there's, you know, rumor has it that each park will take 10,000 people a day. I'm not comfortable going to the boat show this year. So you just have to, you have to find what your own comfort level is and then work from there. That's why there's more camping going on so people can make their little cocoon and move it down the road. Other people are getting on the airplanes, but we're wearing the mask and we're, you know, wiping things down and we're wiping our shopping carts at the grocery stores a little bit more often.
Yep. I do believe most people are very responsible about this, and that's a good thing.
So, well, I think I've rambled on. Unless you have any questions there, I apologize for once again hijacking your show, Barry.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. Yeah. My philosophy is I have a guest on, so the guest can tell us what the information that they possess and not me. I mean, this is why you have a guest, not to hear me necessarily. But you know, one thing, I don't know if I've ever asked you this on the several times you've been on the show, but what's your favorite park at Disney?
Well, you know, that's a really good question. Because I'm a park hopper. That's, I actually thought about this when I was jotting some notes and thinking about us having this talk. That one of the biggest challenges for me is the fact that I'm a park hopper. I believe, especially Disney, does such a nice job as they light things up. And my favorite park after dark, I almost always would finish my day at Epcot, but I'd never start my day there. Wow. And so I might go to Magic Kingdom for the morning, and then especially if we got family down there, we would leave. We try to get done what we were going to do and leave and go back and use the pool and things like that for the kids to play in, and very often end up at Epcot at night. Of course, they were the ones that were a little bit older. You know, asking which is my favorite park is kind of like asking me which is my favorite grandchild, you know. So yeah. I'm kinda like, they're all my favorites for one reason or another. And that's a really tough question to say. You know, the Magic Kingdom, that was the first one. I've been going to Disney for as long that was Disney World. You know, when you went there, that was the only park that was open. I can still remember having a meal or something at the top of the Contemporary. And if you looked out to the south, you could see the construction going on out at Epcot when they were making Spaceship Earth there above the trees and so forth. And so I remember those days. I really enjoy Animal Kingdom. I really enjoy the safari because it's never the same. You know, some of these attractions you've been on Pirates. I still have to go on it. I still love going on Pirates, but you kind of know it, you know, Walt had his hand in this. So it's been around a lot longer than me and I enjoy it, but it's kind of like, you can do this, but the safari is really a lot of fun with two dimensions. Number one, that the animals make it different all the time. And also the guides that kind of take you through on those vehicles, have their own little way of saying things and different information. So you can learn so much, just, you can get off and go back on and it's a whole different experience. So, I know I didn't answer your question, but it really, that's why I go back, is that there's always more to do. You can't possibly do it all in one trip.
Yeah. And how many trips have you done now? Maybe 100, 200.
Well, you know, I wish at one time I'd counted, maybe it was scary. Maybe I would have been banned. But the last number of years I've averaged about even this year. Well, I'll make it to 5 trips this year. So
amazing.
But a lot of those I don't go to always alone. I'm benevolent. I take kids and grandkids, and whenever they can, I can set up a trip where someone can go with me. I'm thrilled to bring them along. So
sure. And Gary, if people would like to get a hold of you to ask questions or maybe get your expertise in Disney, if they have clients and need a little help, how would they get a hold of you? Or if they want to book a Disney trip, how do they get a hold of you?
Sure. You can email probably is the best way. I spend my life seems like on email and things like that. And so I'm at WDWGary, G-A-R-Y. So think of Walt Disney World, Gary, WDW@gmail.com. I'm at Solo Disney Traveler is the website that needs some updating, but there's a lot of information on there, and I'm going to start putting some more, but some contact information on there. And on the Twitter, I'm at Solo at Disney. You'll find me there if you want to follow me. So.
Okay, great. Well, thank you once again for coming back to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. It's always a pleasure to have you, and always quite interesting. And I'm always, I don't get to Disney much, and should get there more. Even, you know, we're just a couple hours away when we're in Florida, but maybe I'll have to try to do that. But, you know, I really appreciate your knowledge. And every time I listen to you talk about Disney, I just want to go there. So I got to do it. thank you again for being on Zero, Gary.
My pleasure, Barry. Nice talking to you again.
Yep. Good talking to you too.
Well, thank you, Gary, for once again being a part of our show. And I really appreciate it. And I also want to thank our listening audience for being with us for this show. And I really appreciate that as well. And if you have questions or just want to drop me a comment, you can do that on email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. So as we close out another month, I want to hope you are all staying safe. And I want to hope that you have safe travels as you go along here. And stay healthy, everyone. And we will be talking to you next month. Bye-bye for now.